Sangha is an organism. It's a super organism. And each of us is a tissue, is a cell in the body of the Sangha. In the Christian gospel, we read whenever there are two or three of you gather in my name. So the number two and three were mentioned. In the Buddhist tradition, the minimum number of individuals that can make up a Sangha is four, the strict minimum. Five is a comfortable number. So if you want to build a Sangha, begin with five. If it is less than five, it is not a Sangha. With five members, we can make a decision concerning the life of the Sangha, the practice of the Sangha. There's a procedure called Sangha Karma. And everything is decided by that democratic procedure. And the Sangha is using its Sangha eyes in order to make the decision. You have your insight, you have your experience, but you have to combine your insight and experience with the insight and experiences of other members of the Sangha. And when the Sangha has made the decision, everyone has to follow. Our retreat has the theme of the Buddha eyes. But it's best to understand the Buddha eyes with the Sangha eyes. If we live in a Sangha body, we surely have the Sangha eyes. And the Sangha eyes is much brighter than the eye of individuals in the Sangha. That is why you have to take refuge in the Sangha. You trust the insight of the Sangha, the eye of the Sangha. And we learn to look at the Buddha eyes with the eyes of the Sangha. The Sangha has to meet very often, regularly. Because there should be a good situation of communication within the Sangha. If there is no communication in the Sangha, it is not a Sangha. And the Sangha communicate with each other in several ways. It's very important that we learn the practical, the concrete ways by which the Sangha operate, because each of us should be a Sangha builder. There's a formula that that we have to memorize. It's very simple. Has the community assembled? That is the question asked by a senior member of the Sangha. And another answer, the Sangha has assembled. When I was a novice, at the age of 16, I was very impressed by that Sangha Katman procedure. After the recitation of Gatha or a sutra, and then the senior member of the Sangha will make a sound. There is an instrument made, a little piece of wood. I do not have an equivalent here. But maybe this one. And the sound is very sharp. And everyone pay attention, and then he asks, has the community assembled? Tăng tập phổ, that is the all sign of Vietnamese. Tăng tập phổ, and then the other, tăng nhĩ tập, the community has assembled. The next question is, hòa hợp phổ, it means, is there harmony in the Sangha? And the other person said, hòa hợp, there is harmony. And if the answer is negative, the meeting is cancelled right away. And people have to practice beginning a new reconciliation before the meeting is convened again. I would like to repeat. The first question asked is, has the Sangha assembled? The Sangha assembled. Is there harmony in the Sangha? Yes, there is harmony in the Sangha. The third question, have those who have not received the precepts left the meeting? The answer is that yes, they have left. Because only those who have received the precepts have the right of voting. Because you know that in the fourfold Sangha, there are fully ordained monks and nuns. And there are novices and lay people. And this is a Sangha Katmang performed by fully ordained monks or nuns. And that is why the third question is that, have the ones who have not fully ordained, not been fully ordained, left? And then the answer should be positive. Those who have not been ordained as a bhikshu, as a monk, monks and nuns, they have left. So the novice should not be there, the lay people should not be there, only the fully ordained monks or nuns. And then basing on that, the meeting can go on. The fourth question, what is the purpose of the Sangha meeting today? And then the answer comes, the purpose of the Sangha meeting today is to recite the precepts, to discuss about whether to accept such person into the Sangha. Many items can be listed as the topic, as the purpose of the meeting of the Sangha. We have to pay attention to the fact that only fully ordained monks can make the decision. If you are a community of novices, and then only those of you who have received the novice precepts could make the decision as far as the novice community is concerned. If you are a member of the order of interbeing who have received the 14 precepts, and then before doing Sangha Karma, you have to make sure that other people who have not received the 14 precepts not be there for decision making to be legal. And if you are those who have received five mindfulness trainings, and if you are to make a decision for the community, for the Sangha five mindfulness trainings, and then you have to make sure that other people who have not received the five mindfulness trainings not be there before you can vote. So this is a democratic procedure invented during the time of the Buddha. It has lasted more than 2,600 years. The Sangha of fully ordained monks and nuns are at the center of the fourfold Sangha. It is like the roots. And there are six principles that serve as the foundation for the Sangha life. We call it the six togetherness. In order to be a real Sangha, you should have this kind of togetherness. The first kind of togetherness is that your bodies should be together in a place. It means living together 24 hours a day in the same place. This is mentioned very concretely. This is the body, your physical body. Your physical body should be there, living together with other people. It means you have to live under the same roof, in the same center, and sharing everything in order for you to be a true Sangha. That's the first condition. The first togetherness. We live together in one place, and our bodies should be present. Your spirit is not enough. Your body should be there. The second togetherness is the mindfulness training. And the mindful manners. The same kind of mindfulness trainings. The same kind of mindful manners should be observed by everyone in the Sangha. If you are a Sangha of fully ordained monks, and then you should observe the same mindfulness trainings at the number of 250. Do you know that the fully ordained monks have 250 mindfulness trainings to learn and train? And the fully ordained monks have, the fully ordained nuns have more, for their protection also. This is very important because this is the training. This is the basic training of members of a Sangha. You train by mindfulness trainings. If you lead a lay life, and if you need to train yourself in the teaching of Buddha, then you have to receive the 5 mindfulness trainings. And you have to come together in order to practice the recitation of the 5 mindfulness trainings. You have to come together in order to practice the Dharma discussion about the 5 trainings, so that your application of the 5 trainings in daily life will deepen day by day. And you have your root sangha. And you may like to organize your mindfulness trainings recitation at the root temple where the root sangha is there. Because mindfulness trainings, Srila, is the most concrete expression of mindfulness practice. You are aware of the suffering caused by that kind of thinking, that kind of action, that kind of speech. That is why you are determined to practice the 5 mindfulness trainings, in order to avoid thinking that way, to avoid speaking that way, to avoid acting that way, in order to, for you to be protected, and for the people living together with you be protected. So when you practice mindfulness trainings, you protect yourself and you protect your sangha at the same time. And that is why everyone practice the same mindfulness trainings, and that is very crucial for the well-being and the happiness of a sangha. Without the second togetherness, it is not a sangha. It is a group of people, but it is not a sangha. And when we come together in order to recite the mindfulness trainings, we have to go through the sangha karmang procedure with these questions and these answers. Because during the mindfulness training recitation, we may discover that someone in the sangha is not practicing well the trainings. And that kind of situation can bring suffering to the community. And therefore, the whole Sangha will support that individual to practice beginning anew in order for him or for her to be renewed. And the Sangha will meet in order to offer that individual the kind of practice that will help him or her to renew itself, to renew herself or himself. It may be 7 days of probation, or practice of seclusion. It may be 50 days, it may be 3 months, it may be 9 months. It depends on the Vinaya. Vinaya is a code of monastic code that can provide you with information so that you can help an individual or a group to renew himself or itself in order to be fully integrated into the Sangha life again. Suppose you violated the rule. Suppose you you have lied. You have made you have performed an action, an act. You have spoken in such a way that has caused division and hatred in the community. And now the Sangha, during the recitation of the precepts, you are asked whether you have during the last 2 weeks, you have practiced well that precept, and you remain silent. You remain silent because when you remain silent, it means that you have kept the precept. You have practiced well the precept. And the question may be put forth three times. Dear brothers or dear sisters, this is the second mindfulness training. Have you made an effort to learn, to study, to practice it during the past 2 weeks? And if you have made a mistake, you have caused suffering, you have violated the precepts, and if you remain silent, it means you commit another offense, you lie. And if you continue to lie for six months, and one day it is discovered by another member of the community, you might confess by yourself, and then the period of probation, seclusion, will be 6 months. And during day and night you practice, beginning anew, and after that a ceremony will be perform in order to reintegrate you into the Sangha life, into the Sangha again. And these are, if you study the Vinaya, the code, the monastic code, you see that. There are those of us who spend 10 years or 20 years in order to study just the Vinaya, the monastic code, because the Sangha life is guided by the monastic code. There are minor violation of the monastic code, and you need only to kneel down and confess it with a brother in a community, and then you are renewed. But there are more serious violation of the monastic codes that you should spend more time in order to practice, in order to purify yourself, in order to be reintegrated fully into the Sangha life. And it is the Sangha who prescribe the course of practice. It's very, very subtle and with much details. And in a Buddhist Sangha, you have masters who are specialized on the Vinaya, on mindfulness trainings, mindfulness. So the practice of the mindfulness trainings are at the heart of the Sangha life. If that is a real Sangha, a true Sangha, and then you know that the practice of mindfulness trainings is there in the heart of the Sangha. Tiếng hòa đồng giải. Tướng here means your views, your insight, your understanding, your wisdom. It can be translated as insight, knowledge, understanding. Because the life of a Sangha member is to practice looking deeply, practicing mindfulness, practicing concentration, practicing insight, so that you can understand deeply what is there, whether it is a flower or a mental formation. Because meditation is the act of looking deeply into the nature of things in order to understand your happiness, your sorrow, your fear, your hope, your anger, a pebble, a cloud. Everything can be the object of your inquiry, your meditation. So it is because mindfulness is there, concentration is there, every member of the Sangha is getting more and more insight every day, more and more information every day. And that should be shared. That is why the third togetherness of the Sangha is the sharing. Everything you acquire, you obtain in your life of a practitioner, you are ready to share. And Dharma discussion is one way, one of the ways of sharing. In sitting in a circle, you share your practice, your difficulties, your achievement, your insight with other members of the Sangha. You have the duty of sharing. And other people in the Sangha have the duty of receiving, of profiting from your insight, your understanding, your experiences. And the sharing should be permanent. And Dharma discussion is is a practice where you can use your language, your notions, mankind is endowed with language. We can share our insight, our experience by Dharma discussion. The secret of the success of Western science is that since the 17th century until now, discoveries in the domain of science have been shared together. If you have discovered something in the domain of science, and then you can publish your insight in a science magazine and so on, so that other scientists will be aware of that, and that will help them to make their own discovery. This is the success of the deepest cause of the success of science in the West. The sharing is very crucial for the growth and the happiness, the stability and the liberation of members of the same Sangha. That's why sharing should be permanent. The technique of soliciting many modest contributions in a field of science. Contributions to the store of human knowledge. Has been the secret of the success of Western science. And a scientist whose name is Zeeman has said this: the innovation, the invention of a mechanism for the systematic publication of all fragments of scientific work may well have been the key event in the history of modern science. We have to invent a kind of mechanism so that fragments of scientific work could be published, and that will help tremendously. The sharing is very important. And what makes a Sangha a real Sangha is the sharing is permanent, day and night. And we do not share only with our speech, in what we say. In a practicing Sangha, we share. We share in many other ways also. In a Dhamma talk, we may learn that when the other person hurt you, when the other person say things that can be insolent, hurting, you should go back to your mindful breathing and be yourself. Mindful breathing can help you to be yourself and not to allow, not to let you to be carried away by anger. Mindful breathing and deep looking can help you to understand and overcome your anger or prevent your anger to manifest. And you may learn things like that. And that is a kind of sharing. But sometimes we don't share by Dhamma talk. Living in Sangha, we can share by other means. When you are provoked, when you find yourself in a situation where you can get angry very easily, the other person wrote you a very nasty letter, the other person said something very nasty, cruel to you, in the presence of many other people, you remain calm, you remain fresh and smile. And that is communication. That is a real communication. Members of the Sangha witness to that realization in you. They see your solidity, they see you can protect yourself, they see you are well protected by the practice. And they marvel at your capacity of remaining calm in such a situation. And they say, if he can do like that, why not me? And that is communication. I do not communicate with my Sangha, with my Dhamma talks alone. I communicate with my way of walking, my way of looking, my way of acting and reacting, my way of sitting, my way of handling difficulties that arise in the Sangha. So in a true Sangha, communication should be permanent, so that insight, not only in terms of notions and ideas, but insight as reality be communicated. There are many young members of the Sangha, but the way they move around is very peaceful, very pleasant, very happy. The way of talking, the way of reacting are so wonderful. They do not actually give Dhamma talks, but they are giving Dhamma talks with their own body, with their own way of walking and sitting and smiling. And that is part of the third togetherness. And in a Sangha, it should be that element in order for the Sangha to be a real Sangha. We know that humans have many ways to communicate with each other. We can accumulate information. The accumulation, the processing, and the retrieval of information. That is what we do every day. And now we have the internet. We can share, we can store, we can download, we can do everything in order to enrich the treasure of information we have. But information, we know, are not enough, because information are presented and preserved only in notions and speech. We need more information, the kind of information about how to live a happy life, how to be free, how to be compassionate. All these things are difficult, more difficult to communicate than notions and concepts. We know that the bees, they communicate ceaselessly. We know that the ants, the termites, they communicate ceaselessly. There are many ways of communicating. We humans, we communicate, but sometimes it's difficult. Very often we feel stuck. And we should learn how to remove the obstacles within ourselves and within the other people, so that communication will be possible again. These obstacles, we have to call them by their true names: prejudices, jealousy, anger, arrogance, and so on. And in the Sangha, everyone is motivated by the desire to remove these obstacles and to transform these obstacles so that information, communication be restored. In the community of the sisters in the new hamlet, there is one nun who is very quiet. She does not talk a lot. She does not give spectacular Dhamma talks. She does not propose spectacular ideas. She just lived her life as a nun in a community. But she is very determined to practice as a nun. She is happy, she is solid, she is committed to her, uh, her life as a nun, and her stability, her joy, her happiness communicate a lot. And everyone, every monastics profit from that her presence. It does not seem that she's trying to communicate at all, because she speaks very little. And yet she communicates very well. And we'd be very lucky if we have many people in the Sangha like her, because they contribute a lot of stability, a lot of freedom, a lot of happiness. And that is why communication has to be understood on that level also, on the level of action, on the level of non-action, namely on the level of being. That is the third togetherness, sharing. You are determined to go home and build a Sangha. You know that the six togethernesses are so crucial for the well-being of a Sangha. And the third one, communication, sharing up to many levels. The fourth is khẩu hòa vô tánh. Khẩu means your mouth, your speech. You practice loving speech. You practice the fourth mindfulness trainings in such a way that there will be harmony in the community. You speak with calm. You try to speak with gentleness in a community. The happiness depends very much on the way we communicate with each other with words. You know, when you are angry, when you are overwhelmed by an emotion, when you are jealous, you might say things that can cause the community to suffer and to break. And that is why one of the four togetherness is that you all practice loving speech. It's so important. Even if we have all the other factors for happiness, and if we don't have this factor, loving speech, happiness still does not exist. And therefore, learning to speak in such a way that concord, happiness and peace be preserved in the community is very important. And this needs training. When you feel that you are not peaceful enough to say something, don't say it yet. You still have time to say it. You have the right to tell him or to tell her what is in your heart. Of course, but you have to say it in such a way that will not disrupt the harmony and the peace in the community. So wait until you are calm enough to write down that on a piece of paper. Wait until you are calm enough in order to say it with loving kindness. The fifth one is Lợi Hòa Đồng Quân. Uh, Lai means material resources should be shared equally. Everything should belong to the community, and members of the community, when they need something, the community will provide them with what they need. In terms of food, in terms of cloth, in terms of shelter, in terms of medical treatments, and so on. And a monk is supposed to have only three robes, one bowl, and one water filter. When you are ordained as a monk or as a nun, the material conditions for you to be ordained as a monk or nun is to have three robes. Usually you need only one, but in a time of cold, you can use the three other robes to as a blanket. And then you need a bowl in order to go for the arm round in the morning to get something to eat in the morning. And also you need a filter, a water filter. If you don't have these things, and then you cannot be ordained as a monk or as a nun. That dated back to the time of the Buddha. When I was a novice, that struck me very much that every time you drink a glass of water, you have to breathe in, breathe out, and visualize that there are many tiny living beings in the glass of water. And you have to recite a mantra so that compassion will arise in you before you eat, as you drink that water. I still remember, Phật quán nhất bát thủy, bát vàng tứ thiên trùng, nhược bất trì thứ chú, như thực chúng sanh sanh nhục. With the Buddha, when looking into a glass of water, he recognized the existence of 84,000 living beings, tiny living beings. And if you do not practice this gatha to give rise to your compassion, you are eating the flesh of living beings. The manual that the novice used dated 400 years ago. Long before the manifestation of Louis Pasteur. And yet, according to the eyes of the Buddha, there are so many living beings in just a glass of water. If you practice concentration deeply enough, you see things that other people cannot see. The Buddha did not use a microscope. He did not have scientific instruments, but he saw very much the same thing. He saw tiny living beings living in the water, and he advised his disciples to use a water filter, although he knew that the water filter cannot fill all living beings, but it helps. I was very impressed when I saw that gatha in the book for novice. Holding the glass of water like this, you read the gatha, breathing in and breathing out, and you recognize that there are tiny living beings in there, and you have to get compassion in you. is a very beautiful practice. And then the community may have other goods, and that is to be shared equally among members of the same sangha. Lợi hòa đồng quân. And the last one is y hòa đồng duyệt. Duyệt means happy, joyful. And y means your ideas, your notions. Because people have different ideas as how to do that. The Sangha will have to do something, but there are so many ideas. People are inclined to do things in their own way. So there are different ideas. And this is the art of combining ideas in order to make everyone happy. The synthesis of all ideas, and that is an art of practice in the Sangha. You have an idea. And the other member of the Sangha may have another idea that looks like the opposite of your idea. And that happens very, very often in the Sangha. Your idea is like black and her idea is like white. It cannot come together. But the art is to practice looking deeply in order to see the nature of the two ideas. And very soon we can see that the two ideas can complement each other, can support each other, complete each other. From the thesis, we have the antithesis. And if we know how to do things, and then we have a synthesis. This is always true. So you are free to state your idea, to express your idea, even if your idea is just the opposite of his idea. The Sangha will find a way in order to combine the wisdom of the two ideas. And even if you have three ideas, five ideas, the Sangha will be able to do that for the happiness of everyone. And this is an art of combining ideas. And this is the sixth togetherness that you have to practice. And this is a prescribed by the Buddha himself. How to build a happy Sangha, you have the practice of six togetherness. The Sangha has to be built with the practice of the six togetherness. You cannot build a Sangha by telephone. You cannot build the Sangha with email and letters. You cannot build a Sangha even with ordinations. The Sangha has to live together, practicing together, share together, combine ideas together. And when you have a Sangha like that, many people can come and take refuge. You may belong to the extended Sangha. This is the root Sangha, the core Sangha. And you may belong to that Sangha, and your Sangha may be called extended Sangha. Is the core Sangha and the extended Sangha. And the extended Sangha do not have to stay 24 hours a day with the core Sangha. But members of the extended Sangha can profit to the maximum the presence of the core Sangha. And that is why you make an effort to go back to the core Sangha as much as you can. You might like to organize the mindfulness trainings, recitation. Where the core Sangha is. Suppose you have received the 14 mindfulness trainings, and you can only meet with members of your Sangha once a week or once in every 2 weeks. And during the time, the hours when you spend time together and practicing together, you are a real Sangha. But when you go home, the situation is not the same. And that is why members of the extended Sangha have to find ways to go back as much as possible to the core Sangha. A group of people operating only on letters and electronic mail or telephone cannot be called a Sangha. A real Sangha has to practice the six togetherness, and it is a real refuge. That is why the setting up of permanent Sanghas are very crucial. You are very lucky if in your area there is a permanent Sangha, there is a core Sangha, where people live together 24 hours a day building the Sangha. And this is a refuge. A refuge not only to the extended Sangha, but for the society as a whole. Therefore, supporting the setting up of a permanent Sangha in your area is very important. You know, when we established the Vermont, the Green Mountain Dharma Center, we sent there 12 monks and 12 nuns, the Maple Forest Monastery. And this is a big gift that we gave to the state of Vermont. Because this is a real Sangha. There are monks, nuns, lay people who live together and practicing the six togetherness. And that is why to set up that kind of Sangha and to support the setting up of that kind of Sangha is very crucial, because people will feel very comfortable. They have a place to take refuge in, a alive Sangha, a living Sangha, a real Sangha. And the extended Sangha can be strong only with the presence of such a Sangha in the area. It's very interesting to observe the life of Sangha and to observe the life of a beehive, an ant hill, or the life of the termites. With the Dharma, with the practice of the six togetherness, it is possible that we can do as good as the bees. And we can do better. We can do better. Yesterday I said that when you observe a solitary ant, you don't see much. of a thought. Only when you see thousands and thousands of ants in an ant hill blackening the soil, and you see the organism, the real organism, the animal, with all the intelligence, the thinking, the strategy, and so on. When you put four or five termites on a plate where there is soil and pellets, the termites just go around. They may hold one pellet and put it down, and they go around and they just do that. But when you put more of them into the same place, and when the termite reach the community size, intelligence begin to express itself. We have talked about Sangha, and we know that the number five is the minimum that can make up a Sangha. Because only with five could we perform the Sangha Katmang procedure, decision making. When the ants, when the termite reach the community size, they begin to operate as an organism. They begin to build columns like the termites. They use the soil, they use the pellets, and they build a column. And when the column reach a certain height, they stop. We ask, why do they stop? Because they naturally know that it's high enough. And that is inscribed in the experience, in the body. And they begin to build another column. And when the other column reaches the same height, they begin to build the arches that link this column to the column. And after they finish and observe them doing so, they make very beautiful, curving, very symmetric kind of arches like that. And after they finish one, they begin another. And they continue to build very beautiful vaulted chambers like that. And you know that in their home they have all kinds of comforts. They are capable of setting up air conditioners. ventilation. They can farm inside. They can raise livestock. And ants. They can send whole armies into war. And they capture slaves. They do everything that humans do. But they are not, they don't know how to sit at the conference table in order to make peace. That is why I said that we can do better. With the six concourse, we can become as good as the bees, the termites, the ant. But with the six concourse, we can go much further. We can build peace, not only for the humankind, but for other species as well. We can be protectors of the earth, of the whole environment. And who knows that one day the ants, the termites will learn from us the way of peace. It is the organic function of the ants to build a hill. And if you come to disrupt their work, they will begin again until they finish, they complete the work. We humans, it seems that our biological function, our spiritual function is to build some kind of hill also. For the well-being. Not only of the humankind, but also of other living beings. We know that the compassion and the loving kindness of the Buddha is without limits. We know that Sangha is our hill. We have to build our Sangha. Because the Sangha is the refuge for so many of us. The Sangha is capable of making peace not only inside of it, but outside of it. Because the Sangha is always growing, not like the anthill, where they are closed. They think and they act only for the well-being of their own Sangha, their own community, their own organism. But thanks to the practice of mindfulness, concentration and insight, will be able to build not only the peace, the joy, the happiness for our Sangha, but also the peace, the joy, the happiness for society. And as practitioners, we know that we have a hill to build ourselves, Sangha building. We know that Sangha will be the refuge for many. Many of us have the impression of getting lost in these days. And therefore, a Sangha that expresses tolerance, stability, safety, and joy is a refuge for all. Because the Sangha, when it is a true Sangha, always manifests the presence of the Buddha and the Dharma. When I was a novice, I was given a definition of the word Buddha. I learned that Buddha is someone who is awakened and who is working for the awakening of other living beings. And when the career of enlightenment has been finished, then he will be called a Buddha. It's very interesting. And as a novice monk, I already reflected deeply on that definition. The Buddha, see, first of all, is an enlightened person. And who is working for the enlightenment of others? And when the work of self-enlightenment and enlightenment of others have been finished, he is called a Buddha. Tuyak means self-enlightenment. Yatha, enlightening other people. Yakhan Vyang Man, the completion, the fulfillment of the action of enlightening people. So when I saw the definition, I had the idea that the Buddha still continues his way of enlightenment. Enlightenment is a living thing. Enlightenment is a living reality. And the Buddha is still practicing through you, through me. Because the first function of a Buddha is to get enlightenment within. The second function of a Buddha is to help other living beings to get the enlightenment. And we know that the work is still going on. Shakyamuni Buddha is still practicing. That is what I saw when I was a novice. And Shakyamuni Buddha is practicing in you, in each one of us. We practice in order for our enlightenment to manifest. Every day, we practice so that the enlightenment can be born in the other person. And we are continuing the work of the Buddha, namely the Buddha is still practicing in us, in every one of us, until the work of enlightenment is achieved. The act of enlightenment is fully achieved. So please do not think that the Buddha is now resting. The Buddha is very active. And you are his, you are her continuation. Working for your enlightenment, working for the enlightenment, awakening of other species. And that is the kind of hill we humans, we are to build. Building Sangha so that the Buddha continue to practice through us. You might think of Jesus in the same terms. Jesus is still working. That is why we call him the Living Jesus. And my book, Living Buddha, Living Christ, express the same idea, the same insight, that the work of Jesus Christ is still continuing, the work of the Buddha still continues. And we are the people who continue the work of the Buddha, of Jesus, for more understanding, more enlightenment. And as I said, that the best way to look at the Buddha is through the Sangha. And with the Sangha eyes, we will be able to understand the Buddha eyes.